This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind the poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks.
Here's episode 2. Today I'm here with Inkpaw. She is going to be reading her poem, Questions of a Self-Considered Poet.
Questions of a Self-Considered Poet. Simple moments, big ideas, twisted together with thoughtful fingers in a well-placed pause. Here and there, eraser crumbs on my shirt and caught in my uncombed hair. Does this make me a poet? My fingers still twitching across my page, words appearing from this half-broken pencil. My stomach complains about the broken promise I made to eat breakfast an hour ago. But my half-broken pencil keeps writing these words. Does this make me a poet? Time wasting away, and soon gone is my day, and I'm writing late into the night, under my dimmed kitchen light, the eraser crumbs still caught in my hair, and a fully broken pencil lying over there. I found a new one that worked just as well, and the words keep on flowing, and my poems keep on growing. Does this make me a poet?
Yay, I love it so much. Cool. Talk about your title, Questions of a Self-Considered Poet. What was your inspiration for that?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I honestly just wanted to find something that worked with the rest of the poem, but also was a little different.
Did that come before or after writing the poem itself? Because, like, sometimes my titles come, like, way long after.
Yeah, it was, like, the next day after I wrote it, I decided what to call it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The first stanza, there's very subtle rhyming. Like, it doesn't feel like it's forced. Was that intentional, or does it just, like, come about?
It's funny. The rhyming... When I'm writing poetry, it's, like, there's little paths I can take. And the automatic ones that it switches to are the ones that subtly rhyme and have a certain flow to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I start being conscious of that, it starts becoming more forced, which is interesting.
Yeah. I don't usually rhyme with my poems because I feel like it just feels a little too like Dr. Seuss-y, even though I love Dr. Seuss. I do think that like having the words sort of match up gives it a rhythm, and that really helps it. Like the line, but my half-broken pencil keeps writing these words. Like, that has a rhythm to it.
Yeah.
Like, if you broke it up and said, like, but my half-broken pencil keeps writing these words, and there's, like, a rhythm that you can match to it, which is really cool. So the part in the poem that keeps repeating is, does this make me a poet? And what was that inspiration? Because I think it's a really cool idea.
Yeah, when I was writing that poem, I was still trying to figure out if I liked being called a poet or not. I don't know if that sounds weird, but like, I was also considering if it was something I wanted to pursue with my time and do regularly, which I decided it was. So I guess, yeah, I am.
And is that something that you think of a lot, like what sort of constitutes a poet and like, what makes a poet a poet?
Yeah, it is. I like to think about what makes things anything a lot.
Yeah. What does it mean to be a poet? Or are there any requirements? Or, like, poetry itself, are there no rules or limits? I think this is really fascinating.
Yeah. So, well, it depends on the style of poetry, right? There's haikus, which are definitely have rules.
Yeah.
There's this many syllables and this many lines and that's it.
Right.
And then there's poetry that's just very free-forming. And I don't think there are as many rules. You can make it rhyme. You can make it make sense or not make sense. I don't know. What makes a poet? That's an interesting question. Someone who chooses to express themselves through words that have a rhythm somewhat like music, but is more spoken than sung.
Yeah, I would agree that it's like someone who writes songs that are supposed to be spoken.
Yeah.
Sort of like that. But really, I don't think there's any rule for, like, you have to act this way to be a poet, and you have to write about, like, the trials and tribulations of being young, you know?
Like, no, yeah.
It doesn't have to be like that, because I feel like so many people think of poets as, like, moody teenagers who write about, like, the dark abyss that they're going to fall into and stuff. Like,
I mean, I do when I'm sad.
Some people do that, and that's cool. But yeah. We're not, like, super pretentious and stuff. Like,
there's
no, like, set standard for poets, and there's no universal type.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's very true.
Yeah, and some people think that, like, oh, you have to be this certain age to write poems, or you have to be in this certain part of your life, but I don't agree.
Yeah, it's, I think, something you can start doing at any age and continue doing or stop doing whenever you feel is right for you.
Right. Because poetry is supposed to be this, like, universal gift of expression. And that shouldn't be limited by how old you are or where you went to college or how you were raised.
Yeah.
Like, it defies those barriers.
Very much so, yeah.
So, back to the poem. So when you said that my half-broken pencil keeps writing these words, does it sometimes feel like you're no longer in control when you're writing? Like, the power has been put on the pencil, so to speak.
Yeah, I feel often at times my hand moves faster than my brain does, in the way that I've barely comprehended what I've thought before it's on the page, which is, I suppose, in a way, the pencil having its own will.
There's a quote, and I'm going to try to find it real quick. And it's about how... Found it. Okay, so Frank Conroy, he said, "Most often I come to an understanding of what I'm writing about as I write it, like the lady who doesn't know what she thinks until she says it." So it's the idea that you don't really know what you're writing about or where you're going until it's, like, already written.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool. And I was just writing a poem now while we were getting this all set up, and I really didn't know what was going to happen with it. Then I was, like, as I was writing it, my fingers kept going like this and, like, typing it out, and it just kind of came out. So let's talk about inspiration and, like, where it comes from and when you start writing and stuff. Like,
yeah,
do you, like, can you just sit down and say that I'm going to write and, like, get an idea?
Kind of, but not really.
Yeah.
I can sit down and I may have an idea, but from that, I might ask someone around me just to say a random word or make a hand motion or something and draw from that, but draw with words. So I would say that as long as I have something I can see or smell or feel, in a way, yes, I can just sit down and write, because there's an endless amount of information flowing to my brain every second that I sit there.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, if I'm at a writing workshop and there's, like, a prompt I can write, but usually I have to just read something that catches my attention and makes me wonder about it more, and, like, that makes me want to write it. And I find that if I try to force myself to write, I just get stuck and I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Forced writing isn't as fun as just randomly, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people think that writers and poets can just sit down and magically all this stuff comes out of them.
Yeah. That's not accurate.
I don't think that happens for that many people, because it's very much like a thought process that you have to go through.
It is, yeah.
And just like, you know, musicians might not be able to force themselves into composing a song, then we can't really force ourselves into writing a poem.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, let's talk about your third and last stanza. So, do you mind reading that again?
Yeah. Time wasting away, and soon gone is my day, and I'm writing late into the night. Under my dimmed kitchen light, the eraser crumbs still caught in my hair, and a fully broken pencil is lying over there. I found a new one. It worked just as well. And the words keep on flowing, and my poems keep on growing. Does this make me a poet?
Wow, that's so cool. So, I like how the pencil changes, like, from half broken to fully broken, because there's just so many words that are coming out.
Yeah.
And do you find that when you get into, like, a good idea and a good writing mindset, like, the words keep on flowing, do you find that you just can't stop writing? Or do you feel like there's a limit?
No, I don't think there is a limit, really. It's more like I'll write one big piece and then find the little chunks that don't work with it, take those out and collect those, and those will be jumping points for new pieces. Yeah. So, in a way, no, it doesn't stop, really. It's all kind of blowing together. I mean, I do stop to, like, eat and stuff.
Yeah. Do you recycle some of your ideas? So, like, yeah. If you have this one thing in one poem, do you somehow weave it into another poem?
Yes, a lot of times, actually, I'll do that. I've done that with paper airplanes a lot.
Oh, really?
Because, I don't know, I love the idea of paper airplanes, kind of, like, just... Mm-hmm. They kind of are there for a second and then gone, right? But when you think about it, so is a thought. So when you have a thought that's kind of like an airplane, the two could be the same thing. And when you insert that in a poem, you can weave it into another poem and have those two kind of connected by this one thing zipping in for just a second.
I think that's a really cool thought. Personally, when I sort of recycle ideas, I think it's pretty subtle, and you wouldn't really think that the poems are related in some way unless you're, like, looking for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something you said about the thoughts and being, like, there for just a second. And whenever I get an idea for, like, a story or a poem or something, then I have to write it down in the instant or I'll completely forget about it.
Yes, same.
Is that something that you, like, struggle with?
Yeah, a lot, actually. A lot of the times, I know this is a little random, but, like, I'll be in the shower, and I'll think of a really great few lines. And I'll write on the wall of the shower with my finger so that I can... go back to it after I've gotten dressed. Or I'll, like, get out really quickly and go write it down.
Yeah, I had an idea for this entire book series the other night, and I had it all planned out, and it was actually a pretty cool idea. But yeah. I don't remember any of it now. It was, like, right before I was about to fall asleep, and my eyes were, like, just starting to close, and I was like, oh, this is the coolest idea ever. Totally gonna remember this. I'm gonna write it all out. And I could remember that I had an idea, but I couldn't remember the idea. And it bothered me so much because now I yeah. don't think I'll ever think about it again.
I know. It's like, it happened to me so much. Is I'll have an idea, and then I'll remember that I had the idea, but I can't remember what the idea was.
Yeah. Like, you can. It's sort of the same way that you can remember that you had a weird dream or a dream with a certain person, but yeah. you can't remember what happened in it.
Mm.
And when I get ideas, though, I'm trying to get into the habit of writing them down, like on sticky notes or a notebook or on my computer, because then I have some way of, like, keeping it and not forgetting about it.
When I'm outside of home, I always have a small... like tiny pocket-sized black notebook that I keep with me that I put those in.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, and then at home, I don't know, if I don't have paper, I'll just pen it on the wall.
Yeah, I have a lot of sticky notes in front of me. If you stare at them all, it would give you a headache. Oh my gosh. But it's my brain.
Yeah.
So, what would you say is the overall inspiration of the poem? Like, certain lines have their own inspiration, but the entire poem as a whole.
I don't know. I've gone through a long process of trying to figure out who I am as a person, and you know, it changes, so I'm still figuring that out. But I think being a poet is a big part of who I am now, and that was something I was starting to integrate into my life, and that was the kind of backbone for the inspiration of the poem. And then on top of that, there are other elements of, well, I'm really messy and I'm really clumsy.
Me too.
I do all these weird things. So let's incorporate all that into this lyrical bit of art.
Yeah, I would say it's very lyrical. And I'm so clumsy. I've been driving for 30 hours and 45 minutes, actually. But my mom still won't drive with me because she's, like, too scared. She's like, no, you fall all the time and you drop things. You can't drive a car. And my brother got out of the car when I was driving. And I swear, he almost kissed the ground. But he was just being dramatic.
Yeah.
I haven't hit anything yet.
Yay, that's a good thing.
No.
Let's not make that a goal.
Yeah. Good idea.
I'm excited about driving. I'll be able to do that next year.
Cool. I only have a few more hours, and then I have to do driver's ed, and then I can get my license. So the driver's ed is the persnickety part, because it's kind of hard to, like, get into the classes. I'm super excited for my license. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's nice to have something when you're a teenager that makes you feel like you have some control. Because there are so many things that are out of your control. Like, can't control what your friends do. Can't control what, I don't know, homework your teacher gives you. Like, there's a lot of stuff you just can't control. But having the power to, like, physically change where you are, I think, makes you feel like you have more control, like you're more of a person.
Yeah. I think something video games do too, you know? Sorry, that was a random thought.
Like, in what way?
Oh, well, it gives you something to control, but you can see the, I don't know, you can see it move around, but you feel the satisfaction of being able to do something and have the result that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a learning process where if your, I don't know, snake runs into a wall or something, you learn not to hit the wall. It's
It's, I guess that's sort of like being a teenager and just person in general, like a human being, is that something doesn't work out and you learn to do it a different way. Hopefully.
We do hope that you will learn from that. Yep.
Yeah. Are you good at video games?
Not really.
I can only play Mario Kart, and our version is from 2008, so I'm not that spectacular.
I don't even know how to play that.
Any of those games in arcades that are, like, full-on chairs and you sit and you drive around a racetrack, I'm horrible at that. I always end up, like, upside down.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's the craziest thing, which is maybe another reason why I shouldn't operate a vehicle. But I don't know if it translates to real life.
I don't think so. Video games are a bit more touchy than real life is. Also, yeah. The glitch. So, like.
Oh, yeah. So, what was the setting when you wrote this poem? And does setting affect your poetry? Because you mentioned, like, the dim kitchen light.
Setting does affect the poem and my mindset while I'm writing the poem. Because I'm very sensitive to what's around me, especially the people around me. And I'm homeschooled, so that means I'm at home with my family 24/7.
Me too.
So I have two little brothers and my mom and my dad working from home. And that's usually pretty noisy. And And so when I usually write, I write when my mom is off cleaning something, my dad is quietly working, and my brothers are, like, taking nap time. And
that's when I get to
that, or, like, at night after everybody else has gone to bed.
I relate to that, too. I have a younger brother, and my older brother lives with us, but he goes into work, so it's just my mom and my younger brother and I, and my dog, too. So it gets noisy between the four of us.
Yeah,
so that's why I wear headphones. But yeah, I think that setting definitely affects the way that I write too, because sometimes it's hard to tune out the noise that I'm hearing. And like the same way that if you're talking to someone and trying to type or write at the same time, you end up writing what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of like that, where if I hear someone talking, then I sort of end up like subconsciously writing what they're saying. But I think that setting could also be good. Like if you're writing a nature poem and you're outside, then that can definitely help you.
Yeah.
Or if you're writing about a certain place, then it helps to be in that place.
Yes, definitely. Sometimes I like to, when I have to do boring things, like wait in a doctor's office or something.
Oh, yeah.
I like to people watch and then write about the
different. Oh my gosh, me too.
And it's so fun.
Oh, there's this thing
to imagine stories for people.
I know, my brother and I did this thing a few years ago where when we were like in the car and someone drove by, I would look, because he's driving, you know, and I would look and see what they look like. Then I tell him, and then we come up with a story for their life. And it was really fun, actually. And I think that it really helps you as a writer to, like, work on character development and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Understanding how people feel and think and just go about their daily lives is a really interesting thing to learn, actually.
Right.
Yeah, because everybody is a little different.
Oh, completely.
And so seeing all the different ways people do things, and then trying to incorporate certain traits into a character lead to a more developed character.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, even if the story about the person is completely far from the truth, then it still, like, has human qualities.
Definitely, yeah.
And, like, if you're writing about a character, then you have to, like, make the reader sympathize and have empathy for them and stuff. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, I don't understand why they did this.
Yeah. You end up not liking the character, not wanting to read the book.
Or exactly.
Story or whatever, yeah.
Because they don't feel like real human beings.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose you could write about aliens and have them have human beings. But...
yeah, science fiction is the one exception. Yeah, but I think it's really cool to, like, learn about different people because, like you said, we're all different. And, like, the way that I'm homeschooled is probably completely different from the way that you're homeschooled. And that's really cool. Like, it's cool to me that we're approaching the same, like, topic or subject under something that's under the same umbrella with, like, different views and approaches.
Mm-hmm. Perspectives.
Yes, exactly. And that's what's cool about writing, too, is that within genres, like within science fiction or thrillers or romance, people approach the same ideas like, totally different perspectives and totally different ways.
That's very true, yeah.
So, you know that thing that some people say about how there are no more original ideas or stories? Like, everything that you can create has already been created?
I think so, yeah.
Do you believe that?
I believe that maybe the base components that make up a story or a poem, sure, yeah. But I think the way that you create it and make it yours, the way that it comes out through your perspective is going to be different than anybody else's.
Yeah, like the way you tell it is original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It could be the same exact plot line. Who knows?
Yeah, but like if there are two stories about Cinderella and two different authors, then it would be different. And like maybe the plot itself of the evil stepmother and stuff is not their original idea, but the way that they tell it is original. And in that sense, I think that there are still things to be created.
There is an endless, I immediately think pile of ideas to draw from and create new things with.
There's a junkyard of ideas somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, we should get an artist to draw that. That would be really cool, actually.
I know someone, actually.
You should ask them. That would be really cool. All right, back to what I was saying. So, we've been talking a lot about you reflecting on what makes you a poet and integrating poetry into your life. How did you first get into writing?
When I was younger, the only type of writing I knew how to do was essays and stuff, and I did not like them at all. And when I was 9, I think, my dad signed me up for a writing class in Vermont at the Davis Studio on it's on Shelburne Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I attended that class for a couple years, and then I moved to Florida for a year, and I came back.
Me too. I moved to Florida for 7 years.
Oh boy,
that's really cool. And then at that point, you were definitely into writing.
Definitely, I had been introduced to a lot of new ideas and freedom around writing, which I had always thought it was, you do it this way, and this way, and there's no creativity at all. It's taking facts and putting them with other facts on a page.
Yeah.
which I found out it was not. It could be anything I wanted it to be. I did fiction writing, like novels, for a while, and my teacher started getting me into poetry. And from there, I started not liking novels as much, and I did poetry full-time.
Really? Do you read a lot of poetry?
No, actually, I don't. I barely read any poetry, aside from, like, Roald Dahl.
Oh, yes.
That's, like, that's kind of it.
Are there any authors or books that you really like that inspire you to keep writing?
There's, I don't know if you know the Percy Jackson series.
Yeah.
That definitely added a layer of dimension to my character building.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else? I'm just going to go to the bookshelf. I can't remember their titles.
Do you have a lot of books?
I do. Well, I think I do.
I tried to do an inventory of my books, like, last year, and I think I ended at, like, 300.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
You've got a whole, like, little mini library.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. I could stop if I wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, no, I take that back. I could never stop.
Fair point. Yeah. A Wrinkle in Time.
Hey. Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I love that book.
Did you see the Wrinkle in Time movie?
The newer one, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't that impressed with it, but I liked the costumes. I thought those were really cool.
Those were fun, yeah. I did not like the movie as much. I felt like they should have stayed a little more true to the book.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's very much something that you should create in your own mind. Very visual. And I don't know if their recreation aided that or not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. let's see. I've always loved the Grimm fairy tales.
Oh, yes, me too.
I used to read 1 to 2 every night before I went to bed. That was, like, my strict thing. Always did that. the Mary Poppins books, actually, were something that I read.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Fairy book, which is also, like, kind of like the Grimm's fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
Black Beauty.
Oh, yes, me too. Mm-hmm. I was really into horses.
But I was for a while. The Hunger Games, definitely. I love those. The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making.
Oh, wow. What a great title.
I know, seriously. It's.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's definitely a little wordy, but definitely awesome. And it's a whole series. It's great. I only own one book, but I've read the others. Some of the others. I haven't read all the others yet.
My dad and I were actually just talking about this the other day, because we talk a lot about books and stuff.
Yeah.
There were very certain books that he read to me when I was younger, and I would make him read them like 6 or 7 times because I loved it so much.
Yeah.
So there was The Wizard of Oz that I love, and The Voyages of Dr. Doolittle that I loved so much. And we read that like 8 times probably.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why we stopped. Probably just because we got sick of it. But yeah, there's this one scene in it that I love so much. And it's so cool. And I really, really think it's awesome.
Mm.
Is that Dr. Doolittle and Tom, I think, the kid that goes along with him on all of his adventures, we're in this giant sea snail on the ocean floor, and the sea snail's shell is completely clear, so they can see all the animals around them and the coral and stuff. And Dr. Doolittle is just sitting in the shell on the ocean floor as the snail goes along, and he's writing. And it was just the coolest thing to me that you could like write in a giant snail shell in the ocean. Like, that was just so cool to me, and I love that book so much. After reading it, I wanted to be a naturalist, which is what Dr. Doolittle is, but then I got more interested in writing, so. But I think that book was really cool, and yeah, there are definitely so many books that inspired me, and I could just go on and on talking all day about them. But yeah, I think that books have a huge impact on, like, getting people inspired to write and motivated to keep writing, and definitely help shape you as far as, like, what genre you want to write in and what topics interest you. When did you join Young Writers Project, and how has it helped and influenced your writing?
When did I join? Last year, I think. In October, maybe. It was sometime in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a month before the collection of poetry. What is that called?
Yeah. The anthology.
Yes, that. I forget the word, but I know exactly what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
It's like grandmothers with their grandchildren's names.
Oh, yeah. It's that kid. So, how is YWP, as many of us call it, influenced your writing? Like, have you found inspiration on the site and
definitely.
In what forms and stuff?
Definitely in the writings of other people. I really like to sit down and just read what other people have written and kind of get lost in their worlds and perspectives a little bit, and then bring some of that thought process back with me to work with and to write with. And I've also found that the feedback that I've gotten has been really supportive and helpful. It's honest,
yeah,
but in a supportive way. So it's like, well, yeah, I think you need to check your spelling, but it's awesome.
Yeah, I think that sometimes in other, like, writing groups, when I get feedback, it's just kind of bland and like, this is so great. You're such a good writer. Like, okay, well, thank you, but what can I work on? And like, what would make me be a better writer?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like, I want more details. And I think that YWP definitely gives me that.
Yes.
The feedback and the support is great. And the opportunities are really awesome too. Like, for getting published, definitely, and for getting into workshops and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I joined in 2016, right before, and some people might remember this because it was a couple of years ago, right before one of the fall conferences, which might have ended by the time that you joined. But basically, they would have these conferences at VCFA in Montpelier, and all these teen writers would come, and they would have different workshops, and we'd, like, write. And it was just a really cool way to meet other writers and get new writing from it.
Cool. So, yeah,
that, I think that also really got me into writing, because then I was exposed to, like, different forms. Like, poetry I didn't have that much experience with. So, yeah, that really got me into it.
That's really cool. I was not aware of that event, but now I know.
Yeah, I think they've stopped them now, but there's still workshops that are really awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this has been so much fun.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you so much for being in the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having the idea and following through with it. I mean, that's the big part, is actually, you know, doing the idea.
Yeah, I agree.
This was episode 2 of Line Break. I hope that you enjoyed it, and stay tuned for episode 3. Bye!